So our heating bills are just huge at the moment. If you've got your Bibles, you could just turn to. We'll turn back to Psalm 63 in a minute, but I just want to look at Romans chapter 8 just for a moment. I actually preached for a long time last week. I think it was about 40 minutes on Psalm 63. So I really don't want to take too long this morning. In one sense, last week was kind of an introduction to this summer of just seeking God. Mags is laughing, thinking, yeah, Rupert, not going to take a long time. That will be a miracle. Sorry, say again. Oh, is it? Today? Did I just say morning? I'm really confused. I'm totally confused. So I don't want to say very much, but I do just want to just look at these verses in Romans, and then we're going to come back to Psalm 63. If you weren't there last Sunday, you'd be able to get the talk online. I think there's a link from the front page of our website, isn't there, to the sermon downloads, I think it's called, and you'll see it there. And really, in many respects, that was a kind of introduction to the summer of just seeking God. But I wanted to read some verses from Romans 8, verse 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, just because I like it. And it makes a bit more sense than the NIV. It's actually quite a complicated passage. Romans 8, lots of Paul's writings are quite confusing sometimes. So I just liked the New Living Translation because I think it made it a little bit easier to understand. And I just want to just pull out one or two little things from here. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. So the author's really talking about here a time to come when he doesn't use the word kingdom in this passage, but really that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a time when the kingdom of God comes in all its fullness. And the way that I view that is really everything will be righted. Everything that is wrong will be righted. So everything, I just think sometimes it's worth thinking about. What would the world be like if there was no sin in it? No selfishness, if nothing went wrong, nothing decayed, if there was none of the effects of sin, what would the world be like? It would be fantastic. It would just be fantastic. I don't know if anybody was watching Criminal Justice on BBC over the last few days. Yeah, anybody else watch it? Joanne and me. Great. I found it incredibly uncomfortable watching, although it was quite gripping. But I was kind of hiding behind my newspaper or my book because there was something about the injustice that was going on in that program, which no one else will know if you didn't watch it. But there was something about the injustice of this bloke who'd been banged up in prison and everything that was happening and the cruelty and the evilness of human beings and what they were doing. And I just thought, that is not right. And it really bothered me and troubled me, and it was really uncomfortable viewing. I long for a world. Don't you long for a time when none of that is true? Where there is no death or sickness, where there's no sin, where nobody comes with a stone and just throws it into the back windscreen of your car, like happened to me a few weeks ago, or whatever it is. We could all tell stories of things that have happened in our lives or in our families' lives that are the direct result of human cruelty or selfishness, sin in some way, or whatever it is. Wouldn't it be fantastic? So he's talking about this time to come when that will be the case. And actually, he picks this up a little bit more. In verse 20, against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. This is the longing that Paul is talking about here. And actually, all of creation is longing for that. Just longs for that day where nothing is affected by death or decay or sickness or selfishness or sin or anything like that. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. And I want to just come back to that verse just in a moment. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as children, including the new bodies he's promised us. Now that we are saved, we eagerly look forward to this freedom. For if you already have something, you don't need to hope for it. But we look forward to something we don't have yet. And we wait patiently and confidently. So what the author's talking about here, what Paul's talking about, is that there is this day when the kingdom will come in all its fullness and everything will be righted. And I just think it's worth meditating about what, or thinking about. Just imagine a world that would be like that. I really think it's worth thinking about that. And there's something that creation and human beings long for that day. You read stories in the newspaper, or you read the news, or you hear and you listen to people, and you hear the pain or the suffering or the things that happen to them, and I long for that day. Oh, come on. It's not just me and Stefan, is it? I long for that day. And so that's where he says that we, as all, in verse 23, we Christians also groan to be released from pain and suffering. And so there is that longing for that future day when the kingdom will come in all its fullness. But just now we live having in this in-between time. I know I keep on banging on about this, but this is kind of, I'm just trying to explain and for us to explore together what it means to live in this in-between time, longing for this kingdom to come in all its fullness, and yet right now we're living in a world where that doesn't, it isn't the case. And yet what it says here, what Paul says here, is we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory. So we glimpse. The Holy Spirit comes and he brings to us just a foretaste. It's like an appetizer. It's like you just taste odd drops of this glory to come which surpasses everything. This hope that we have that is amazing and fantastic, and we long for it. And the Holy Spirit comes within us and he brings us that appetizer of the kingdom that is to come in all its fullness. And it's fantastic, isn't it? Often where Christians disagree, so here's the deal. We all agree that the kingdom will come in its fullness, and that will be fantastic. We all agree that the world is not as it should be just now, that the kingdom has not yet come in all its fullness. Where we disagree about sometimes is how much the kingdom will come now and how much the kingdom will come in the future. What is a realistic hope for us to see the Holy Spirit bring the kingdom now? That's sometimes where we, you know, have debate. That's where I have questions. What's a realistic hope for this kingdom to come now? But I think this is what motivates us. This is what we want to see in our communities and in our lives. It was fantastic hearing Dave's story last Sunday of just how Jesus has come and changed his life. And that's what we want to see, isn't it? We want to see the kingdom, this Holy Spirit, bring the kingdom now. The question, I think, for many of us is what's a realistic hope now and what is for the future? But I just think there's something for this summer about us seeking for the Holy Spirit to increasingly come and move amongst us, not just in our gatherings. In fact, not primarily in our gatherings, but I think we need each other to seek God, to pray, to come together, to worship together. We need to do that together. But there's something, I think, that is on the Lord's heart for us to come together, to seek him, to see this Holy Spirit who is the appetizer of the kingdom, the foretaste of the things that are yet to come and move amongst us, and to see this kingdom increasingly come in our lives. And I really believe we need to I want to see that. I want to see that in my life and in our family, and I want to see that in our communities, and I want to see that amongst some of our neighbors and our friends and people whose lives are broken and hurting and in pain and suffering from all the things that the kingdom will come in its all its fullness to relieve them of. Yeah? So actually, I think this summer is an opportunity for us to gather together, to seek God together, to look at this Holy Spirit who is the appetizer, the foretaste of this kingdom to come in all its fullness, and for us to pray and say, God, we want you to move amongst us. But this is not just about meetings. This is not just about God moving amongst us in meetings. I want to see God move. I'd love to hear stories of how, as we gather over this time and as we gather in the months to come, that God moves amongst some of our colleagues at work or in our work situations or amongst our neighbors or our friends, or moves amongst our in our financial lives, or move amongst us in our families in some way, that it God breaks out afresh amongst us, but not just for 2 hours on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, but breaks out amongst us and we see this foretaste of the kingdom that is to come in our lives, from Monday to Sunday. I think that's what God is calling us to, but this gathering is to spur us on in our seeking God. I said last week, why don't we use Psalm 63? Why don't you meet up with somebody and talk about that psalm? Or use that psalm in your devotions this week, in your time with God, to use it as a spur to seek God. I wonder how many of us have done that. I know I need you to help me seek God. Does that make any sense? I need you. We need each other. We cannot do it on our own. So our gatherings become a place where we spur each other on, where we encourage each other, where we provide a context for us to be encouraged in our seeking of God to break out in all of our lives, the rest of our lives. Does that make any sense? Got a few noddings, a few blank faces, and a few people thinking, I wonder what happened in the tennis. So what I'd like us to do just now is just to take the next half an hour or something. Band are going to come up. We're going to use Psalm 63 as part of our worship and our prayer. And I'd really like to encourage us not to be spectators in this, not just to sit there, but I'd like to use Psalm 63 as part of our crying out to God together. Part of our prayer, part of our seeking God together. So we're going to read Psalm 63 in a minute. We're going to stick on a song that Delirious have done about Psalm 63. I think the band will perhaps pick that up at some point just after that, and we'll come together. While Delirious is just on, I'd just like us to reflect just on our own, maybe where you're sitting if you want to find somewhere else. It's just a few minutes long. But what is God stirring in your heart? What is God speaking to you about seeking him over this summer? What is it that you need to do? What is it? Well, hold on. What is it you need to do? What is it you need to change? What is it that you need to allow God to do in you? And then after the band have just picked up Psalm 63, what I'd like us to do at that point is to just use this psalm as part of our corporate prayer. And I would love to see a number of us, all of us, a number of us, just either come and take the microphone or where you are as part of our worship, just speak out something of a prayer about God moving amongst you or amongst us over this season. One of my prayers is, God, in this dry and weary land, God, where I'm dry and desert-like, I want you to come. I want you to come and meet with me. Okay, so just we'll just pick up verses, pick up bits that maybe have struck you during the week, if you've done that, which I hope you might have done. We'll read it just now. What the delirious song prompts. Just use these verses and we're going to start. What I want us to do is cry out to God together. Say, God, we really want you to move amongst us. Stefan, did you have something you wanted to share? You looked as though you were hovering.
I felt God was saying to me, and probably not just to me, you make a difference. Okay, you may join in with others to make a difference. So it's not just a difference necessarily being different from everybody else, but you make a difference, and you make a difference here. So you make a difference. And it's because I make a difference. That's what God is saying. You make a difference because I make a difference. And it's the more you let him make a difference, the more you will make a difference.
Does anybody else just want to share something just now? Don't want to just listen to me all night, eh? Anybody else?
I always find there's things that I might want to change in my life, and it's just interesting what you were saying about letting God into different bits, because there's bits that I think I have to do by myself. Like, those are the things I need to achieve, when in actual fact, when I just stop and I just go, I can't do it, I just cannot do it, and then I let God do it, that's when I can do it. And if I'd stop thinking that I can do it by myself and that it's all like it's to my credit that I've achieved those things, that's when I start falling down. Like, and when I admit that he's the one that's helped me, and like I found myself and I'm becoming myself in him, and stop trying to just be me on my own, that's when I can be so much more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, brilliant. Excellent. Was that a hand to say something there, Michael? No? Okay, just...
I think just following on from that, I think I nearly missed it tonight when we started to sing "You're Welcome." I think I was trying too hard to meet with God tonight, and he was saying, you know, there was something about all we had to do was welcome him. There's no striving in it, and so there's something about just welcoming him because it's given.
Just to echo what Mag said, I turned up tonight and I was like, oh, Lord, I haven't bought my Bible, I haven't bought my pen, paper, and I just felt God say, but you bought yourself, and that was enough.
I just have a sense, sometimes when we're kind of talking about seeking God or that kind of thing, sometimes I can feel quite guilty, don't do enough of this, don't pray enough, or I can feel quite striving like Mags, or I need to do, you know, I need to pray for 2 hours every day. And I just have a sense that the Lord's just saying, it would be great if you did something new. It doesn't have to be big. Just something more than you're doing just now. I'm quite looking forward to that, actually. And some of the stuff I have been doing over the last week or so. Anything else? Are we up for this? Sorry.
Just something Rupert was saying was reminding me of adverts I've seen, and it's this whole Healthy Scotland thing, one of the government's big five initiatives. But it's really simple because it just talks about one small step at a time. And I think in the way that Rupert's saying, it is just one extra thing. And we can look at the mountain, or we can look at the lack of what we do, or we can look at, you know, the size of our ambition for God, and we think, well, how on earth do I get there? Or we can just feel it's a very long time since I said hello to you, God, and that the more we leave it, the more it grows. And it's just one small step at a time, even if it's saying, I'm here, even if it's saying, come in and talk to me. It encourages me too.
Excellent. Going once. Going twice. Go on. Okay, let's just read Psalm 63. And maybe if the band could come back and we'll stick the delirious thing on. Just as we just read this psalm, as you listen to this delirious track, let's just take a few minutes. That's all it is. Just on our own with the Lord. Just allow him to speak to you. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouth of liars will be silenced.